Who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, welcome to Speak Out. Here we go. I'll get used to it, Jim. You got to retrain me today.
Yeah, it's your first day.
It really is my first day using this new system. I've never used this particular knob or round pot, as we call them in the business, because they're potentiometers.
Yes.
This is the round one on the board that we're using. It's a permanent setup.
Very
so
good.
Now we can take calls, and people can call in when we take calls.
And can call in while we have someone being interviewed on the phone.
That was a better explanation.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Okay.
I like that one a lot better.
Anyway,
on the phone, we have Dave Schott. David Schott, he is the CEO at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. It's very nice to have you on the program, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Absolutely. Where are you from originally? I know you served as Chief Administrative Officer in Kingman at Kingman Regional Medical Center, but where are you actually from originally? We didn't establish that yet.
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in central Ohio, just north of Columbus, a little town called Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, went to school there and then ended up in Georgia for about 10 years, and it was a little too swampy for me, so I decided to come out to the desert.
So my mom's from Columbus, and I have an uncle or cousin and an aunt in Pickerington. So when I say OH, what do you say?
I-O.
He's got it down. All right. Perfect. I'm not going to say I'm a huge Buckeyes fan, but, you know, they are a great team year after year after year. So anyway, welcome to the show. And tell us about yourself and why you chose to be CEO at WormC. You actually chose to be CEO?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there was an interview process, right? But I, you know, I've always wanted to live in this area of the country, and it was a great opportunity. I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of echo.
Are you?
Yeah.
Should be. I'll try to take that down a little bit. Okay. How about now? Try it.
I think. Yep. Yeah. Oh, much better.
Okay. Good. All right. I got this
wow.
down, Jim.
Yeah. I'm impressed, Paul.
Well, you know, I worked for
wow.
you at one time.
That's right.
Full disclosure.
Making it happen.
Full disclosure. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so I got the opportunity to move out here a few years ago from Georgia. I was up in Kingman, and then the opening was down here in Bullhead at Western Arizona for CEO, and it's a great company. I can't say enough nice things about the people and the docs, and the community is just so welcoming. So really glad to be here.
And I forgot to mention, I forgot to introduce you, Jim.
Yes.
Jim is here in the hot seat as well, the second hot seat. So Brother Jim Russell, our co-host, my co-host on Mondays. And then we'll have Nancy Campbell's coming in. She's going to talk about the transportation board that she is on and the progress that they've made over the past few months. So anyway, we're talking to David Schott, Chief Executive Officer at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And do you have a vision for WormC and what role the hospital system plays in the tri-state community?
Yeah, so our vision is to make the healthcare experience exceptional for our patients, communities, and each other. And really, that's a fancy way of saying we're going to provide great care and be nice to each other.
I thought it sounded like a mission statement. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the hospital has the opportunity to, you know, provide care for over 160,000 patients a year. So there's a lot of folks who come and visit. Some of those folks are repeat visits, but there's a lot of people here. And we really are the destination for primary care, specialty care, and then the hospital-based stuff like surgeries or advanced imaging. So it's really important to provide that good quality care and be nice.
How long have you been on the job at WarmC then as CEO?
Yeah, so I started in September of last year.
Okay, so I don't know if you know this, Jim, but WarmC, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, is very well known for their ER times. In fact, they put it on billboards with like a, it's almost like a shot clock that's up there, right, Mr. Shot? You know, I think the last one I saw was 11 minutes, maybe 8 minutes. I don't know, but you're really well known for that. What do you attribute that to?
The ER team, honestly, starts with Dr. Triman as our medical director. Goes to Tana, the ER director, and the whole team down there. The thing that I find really impressive is the ER sees just over 100 patients a day. Ooh, and when you come in the lobby's empty because they're so efficient. They're taking care of all those patients in the back. If folks need to be admitted, we get them admitted quickly. And if they can go home, we get them home.
Gee, I thought the only way you could identify an ER was it was the room full of people in the waiting room.
Right. Exactly.
That's great. Gee.
Yeah.
So that's a, yeah. That's
yeah. Most hospitals have a pretty full ER and they struggle with it, but it's so impressive the team here does.
Is that something where the staff, you have a lot of turnover because of stress, or how's the hospital deal with that?
There's a little bit of turnover. We're actually year to date doing awesome on our turnover throughout the whole hospital, and it really starts with our strong hiring process. We get about 100 to 200 applicants for every position, so we can be pretty selective with who we hire, and we make sure with folks who want to provide that high quality care or excited to be here. And then we just keep connecting with them and make sure we're providing a good place for them to work. Because you're right, the ER and other areas can be stressful, but we do what we can to support them every day.
You know, I was just thinking that being CEO of a hospital such as yours must be a really unique position in the world of business and commerce. Must be more like running a missile base with all of the extremely high-tech equipment you have to keep your machine running there, the high level of people. And good heavens, it must be, you must not get to sleep.
Right.
Not as much as I'd like, but honestly, the great team here makes it easier than you'd think.
So let's talk about recruiting physicians and those specialists. We've interviewed a few of your specialists here, and I always wondered, where do you get such good specialists to come to Bullhead City? Maybe they just want to get out of the rat race or whatever, but it's a challenge nationwide, apparently. How's WarmC attracting and retaining providers in the community?
Yeah, so my approach to recruiting docs is we want to find people who not only practice great medicine, but they want to be here, right? Mm-hmm. I can get a doctor in any specialty in a couple of weeks to come here, but they might not stay if they don't love it here.
And it takes,
you know,
it,
like, for example, I tell people, like, for cardiology, we only need a few cardiologists. New York City probably needs thousands. So it's the same challenge. We just don't need as many as those big cities. We just need to find somebody who wants a smaller place to
call home. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you find it challenging with our, shall we say, unusual environment?
The heat?
Here? Oh, the heat, yes. Couldn't think of the word.
There they have a two-part problem, the wind, too.
Right? Oh, yeah. Right.
It seems to be
our two seasons.
seems to be windier. Yeah, that's what I call it. Your two seasons are heat and wind, right?
Yeah, you just got to find people who are good with it, and the air conditioning works great in the hospital, so it's always probably about 68 degrees, so we're good to go.
So speaking of technology and that, what investments is WormSea making in technology, equipment, or innovation to benefit your patients?
Yeah, so you hit on it earlier. We're always buying new technology, trying to keep up. And we're in a great position right now. We're actually kind of getting ahead of the curve on some of our technologies we have here. Last year, we spent $3.8 million on new equipment. Some of those, like a new MRI, laboratory equipment. Mm-hmm. This year, we're going to be getting a new X-ray room, a portable X-ray. And what I'm really excited about is we're working through a PET CT, so patients that have cancer or some heart conditions can get those specialized scans here in Bullhead.
To your high level of technology and your machinery, does that serve as a bit of an attraction to the professionals?
They're definitely excited about it. I was actually just talking to a physician who's looking to move out here maybe next summer, and she was very excited about the new MRI coming in, as well as the lab equipment.
So how does WormSea support not only patients but also families and the caregivers and the broader community? We always hear about that with hospice, but you're a hospital, obviously. So how does that work in a hospital setting?
Yeah, so we do a lot of things to support the community. And a lot of it is to make the patient experience better here for not only the patients but their family members. Mm-hmm. One thing I really wanted to highlight is last February we partnered with Mojave Valley Junior High.
Oh.
And we're featuring student artwork in the hospital. So if you come to the hospital, you'll see about 108 framed art projects by students. Mm-hmm. And we're partnering with the River Valley Artist Guild soon to do murals and kind of keep bringing that art into the hospital and kind of really elevate that healing environment.
Jim, that's right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it certainly is in my wife's wheelhouse.
Well, you know, happy wife, happy life.
Right? Yeah, how great.
She puts work in those shows, right? For River Valley Art Guild? I thought she did.
I don't know if that in particular. I know she has in some, but I don't know.
They're pretty big in that area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. It's a good time to take a break, actually. And I think we'll go ahead and take a break with Mr. Schott, David Schott. He is the CEO at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And there's the music. All right, we got it. Levels are a little bit different today. So there you have it. We got a little. I was told you like any kind of music, Mr. Schott. Are you there?
And anything will work.
I keep wanting to call you doctor, but it's Mr. David Schott.
Nope, not a doctor. Nope.
Not yet, anyway. All right. And Jim Russell, my co-host, and we'll be back with more in a moment on Speak Out. You can call in even though the guest is on the phone. We have a phone line open.
New technology in the studio.
Yeah, it's not new. We just mastered it finally. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Or you can text us at 727-5566. I need to write this stuff down, I think.
Don't
I don't know. Too much in the memory, right?
Yes.
Too much on the hard drive. All right. I need new technology. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Speak Out, and a little Bob Seger for you, Brother Jim.
Yes.
And, you know, that's some Midwest music there, David Schott. And you're from Ohio, so there you go.
That's right.
And that would be like I just thought of Schott's Brewery, right? What TV show was that in? I'm sure you know. Right, David?
Oh, man, it sounds familiar.
I don't recall the show, though.
Oh, yes.
Laverne and Shirley. Yes.
Yeah, that's where they worked.
I thought everybody watched that show back in the day.
Of course.
All right.
The Brewery. Golly.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Love those guys,
wow,
too. All right. And by,
that's right. Let's go.
Perfect. And by Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, Main Street, Havasu, home to the Booby Dropper.
Hmm.
There you go. That's from the mind of Dallas Finch.
Uh-huh.
And he writes his own commercials now, apparently. So we do have a question off of the text line, 928-727-5566, if you'd like to send us a text. Is it better for a hospital to be nonprofit or for-profit, and what is WARMC?
Sure. So WARMC is a for-profit hospital. And the better or one way or another, honestly, it doesn't matter. It's more of a governance and a corporate structure thing. But whether it's a for-profit or a not-for-profit hospital, the goal is the same. So provide great patient care.
Okay.
And I imagine the regulations and things are all the same. I guess
right.
It would just make a difference if you owned it.
Right.
Yep.
So, and I'm very familiar with how WARMC became WARMC and the VHHS, Legacy, of course, the Legacy Foundation.
Legacy Foundation.
Yeah, you're familiar with that too, correct?
Absolutely. And Terry Tomlinson's chair of our board, and she's very involved, and she's awesome.
Look at Terry. Terry used to be my CEO at the Boys and Girls Clubs, so that's pretty, that's outstanding. Thanks for that information.
Yeah.
What would you want the community to know about the people behind the scenes at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center?
Yeah, I'd like them to know that we're a great team. We're committed to providing the very best care. Nearly everybody on the team lives right here in Bullhead City. This is our hospital. It's where we go if we need care. We trust each other to take care of our families, and you guys should too.
Well said.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. And what excites you most about the future of healthcare at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center?
Well, I've already talked up how awesome the team is. We're going to keep recruiting great people to join that team, highly skilled folks who want to be here. That's going to turn into growing services. Like I mentioned, I just met with Dr. Patel, who's a potential physician candidate here.
Oh.
Going to add more coverage for urology, vascular surgery, and primary care. So all the things we need.
I guess I'm not understanding the dynamic between your board and, say, a board at a nonprofit. What do you answer to the board then?
I do, yeah.
Okay, because I don't understand the whole corporate board structure.
Yeah, it's like almost like a dual reporting thing, right? So we have the local board here, and then there's also the corporate board in Nashville.
Okay.
And all the corporate structure. But honestly, everybody is aligned, right? We want to provide great patient care, and that turns into dollars for the for-profit side. But it's all about that patient care.
Do you have a story or a moment at WARMC that reminds you why this work matters? And again, we're talking with CEO David Schott at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And yeah, I'd be curious to hear a story.
Yeah, so I actually have two that come to mind. One of our cardiologists, Dr. Goud, he just started doing a new procedure that allows him to remove large blood clots from patients' lungs.
Oh,
right. And that's just as bad as it sounds, right? Before he started doing that,
it sounds awful.
You'd have to get a helicopter ride to Vegas.
Hmm. Oh.
And it's high risk and all the things. Now we can do them here, and it's been incredibly successful.
So those
big success stories are great, but then just little things. Every day we do patient rounding, And sometimes it's as simple as a patient requesting a favorite meal or wanting to do their physical therapy outside. And those can make just as big of a difference in people's lives.
Now, that's great. Is that a pulmonary specialist?
Dr. Gow is a cardiologist.
Oh, okay. Wow. But he works with the lungs as well. That's wow. That's quite a quite a story. Gosh. I thought I was going to get a funny story. But, no, it's really good to have you on the program. And welcome to the two seasons in Bullhead City as opposed to four seasons in Kingman, mm-hmm. right?
That's right. Yeah, it's starting to warm up.
What do you find that's enjoyable outside of work for you here in the tri-state area? I've always wondered that with professionals like yourself. You know, do you end up going outside the area, or are there events here that you like? What do you do when you're not actively on board? As you know, I know you're always the CEO, you're a community uh-huh. role model, so to speak.
Yep.
But what do you do outside of working hours?
So my absolute favorite thing to do is go ride my mountain bike. So if I'm not here, I'll probably be off in the desert somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It's way more than I do, Jim. Very good. And you ride in pairs, I take it, right?
Sometimes I go by myself, but it's always good to bring a friend.
Yeah, I was going to say, this time of year or definitely early spring, be careful out there, especially in the desert.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, perfect. And we're going to take our second break of the hour while we say good day or good. Jim likes to say good day. I'll say goodbye to CEO David Schott at Warm Sea. Thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
All right. And we appreciate your sponsorship of course.
Yes, of this Speak show,
out,
indeed.
Right? Speak Out, where the show is dedicated to the listener and the guest, and somewhere down the way down on the list is you and I. But mm-hmm. you're before me.
That's from seniority.
Is that it? All right. Thank you, David. We appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right. You're welcome. And by the way, my trusty assistant, right, Marissa June, she sent me a note that said, today in music history, in 1974, Paul McCartney and Wings go number one on the U.S. charts with Band on the Run.
Jeez.
Yeah, so we're going to go to break with Band on the Run.
Very good.
While we bring in... somebody who's very versed in transportation, which is kind of on the run too, right? That would be Nancy Campbell.
Uh-huh.
Nancy Campbell, I believe, is here. We will go to break and come back with Nancy on the, I think it's a, I wrote down the name and I don't have it right in front of me, but it is a rural transportation board. So mm-hmm. stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. So, Jim, there's a reason I queued it right back up to that. There's a two-parter to this
uh-huh.
day in music history. George Harrison contributed the line, if we ever get out of here, right here. If we ever get out of here. It sounds like George.
Well, regrettably, I'm not getting it in my headset.
You're not?
No.
You're not hearing it
either? But we're glad you're enjoying it, Paul.
You're kidding.
Yeah, could you just... Yeah, just hum along.
You didn't hear the bumper music going
no.
to break either?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I can hear you now. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, perfect.
I can't hear the music.
That's odd. Okay,
yes.
Well, we've got to figure that part out now. All right.
Paul's had a technological relapse.
Oh, boy.
Relapse. No.
It's he's got a lot more things on the table than he usually does.
Yes.
That's not a lot
there.
Of devices.
He's too busy.
Okay, I guess that's not there either, huh?
Nope. No.
Oh, all right. Speak Out brought to you in part by, I get to enjoy the music then, Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, by Solar Power, by SMA Electric, Dorita's Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane. You should be hearing the promos by now for the Primary Candidates Forum. It's on Wednesday, June 17th. That is a week from this Wednesday, 5 p.m., is the doors, 5:30 is the broadcast, live on 106.75 and 3. the Voice of the Free, and on KNTRTalk.com. Well, I know it's going on the air.
Yes.
I can see it on the master. All right?
Very good.
So everybody knows what I'm talking
uh-huh.
about. I'll just have to warn people or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yep.
All right. We always do. Wow. Aren't you glad we're not in council mode right now?
Yeah. All united
cow.
That way.
I leave for a weekend, and then I find out all this news about campaign signs, and what the heck, man?
They're all just getting cut down. My husband,
not
Chip,
anymore,
and I have
huh?
been putting Warren Peterson's up over and over again. And I talked to Norton's campaign people, and they said that they're air tagging them in other cities because they're just disappearing.
Elijah
wow.
Norton.
Elijah Norton's campaign manager told me that today. Because, as you know, like River Dave has those big, huge signs
yeah.
at Tinsley's, and
yeah.
they're constantly being cut down and taken away. Yeah.
So this is a widespread strategy around the state, maybe?
It's been a huge headache for all of our candidates.
Right.
Not
right.
all of them, but most of them.
And a considerable expense, too.
Very expensive, because you have to send people out to put them in, the rebar,
sure.
too.
Did law enforcement get involved here?
I understand they did last night.
Okay. We don't have to mention anything.
No, we're not going to mention anything
as far as names
else.
Go, but very well
know.
Known.
You'll soon know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to break it here since it's not released
right.
yet. It would
so
be
do we
hearsay.
Do we then hope that it's over?
I certainly hope so.
That there may
no,
have been an arrest.
Let's hope so. We'll leave
yeah.
it at that.
Yeah.
Let everything fall where it may.
Well, you go to transportation, which is what we're here to talk about, is the Rural Transportation Advocacy Council, obviously.
Correct.
But that issue of signs came up in Seligman. Did you know about this?
They're everywhere.
So the Seligman, the town council or whatever, paid for a directional sign that people can actually
oh.
take photos in front of. And
I saw that.
You know, this far to this place, and, you know, it's
oh,
a directional.
Yeah.
And there's campaign signs all along the bottom. So yeah.
I did see that. And, you know, I do know it's getting harder and harder to put campaign signs out. I know
mm-hmm,
the city
sure.
even did a recent ordinance saying that they didn't want it on any city properties. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, there's in the city ordinance, I think there's even some confusion, because it kind of says you can't put them anywhere down McCulloch, but then there's property rights
mm.
and say,
huh.
I own this building. I'm going to put up a sign if I want
uh-huh.
to, you know, on the building itself. So. And now ADOT has never taken down signs before, but they actually are now enforcing the law that I got from one of the ADOT directors, stating that you're not supposed to put any signs down up and down the highway. But it's very confusing, because I know I sent some candidates to call them, and they were told, as long as you're not blocking
mm-hmm.
any the turning lanes or anything. But obviously that has now changed to...
That's the one I heard about before I left. I went to a ball game this weekend, Chase Field, and no, but that's the one I heard about was somebody was right behind the ADOT vehicle, you know, saving the signs as they were being taken down. So that's the only one I heard about. But let's get to the council. How long have you been on this council?
This will be 5 years, and
oh, wow.
lucky for me, I had no idea what the Rural Transportation Advocacy Council is, but we all are liaisons on certain boards, which is the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and the current mayor said that I would be a good fit for this. Of course, I had no idea what it was, but ironically, it has been an awesome fit for me, and I'm extremely excited to have been elected and be able to work in this capacity and actually be able to move the pendulum in a positive direction.
Nancy, what makes you a good fit for it then?
Probably my years of an expertise in the roads.
Okay.
By the way, it is not my company that is doing the work here.
Yeah, right.
I had to do a U-turn to get here. I'm like, oh, road work again.
Oh, it's not?
Whoops. It's my fault, too. I'm voting for this. Okay, but it's good for our city that we've changed the way we managed our roads and how we're early pavement preservation. We're really getting ahead of it in the last 5 years, and I'm very proud that I was able to give direction to the council and anything that has to do with my husband, which if any listeners don't know, he is Campbell Ready Mix and Pioneer mm-hmm. Earth Movers. He does own a concrete and asphalt company, which is what gives me the knowledge to do what I do. And that's what I ran on, is our roads and infrastructure were failing all around us, and the Public Works Department needed advocacy.
Yeah, the last, what was it, Highway 95, that was Karen Fan's company, right? Fan Construction?
Yes, that was Fan Construction.
Who's doing this one around here?
Campbell's did, Pioneer Earth Movers did get the Acoma, but you
okay.
have Combs, you have a lot of people, bidding on these. And I want to clear something up. A lot of people are like, oh, she's getting these bids because she's on council. First off, I recuse myself 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't vote for any of those that have anything to do with my husband's company. And the other thing is people are confused that these are sealed bid processes. That means they're literally sealed. All the contractors show up at a certain time when they're opening up every bid. There's like three staff members that are cross-documenting it. And who is the lowest bidder actually gets the bid. We have been working with the city since 1980s. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new for me. But what is important is somebody needed to fight for roads and infrastructure. And I've always said I got here two water sinkholes too late because I finally got on and we had talked about it that this reoccurring underground leak after leak after leak was happening. And the Public Works is not sexy. Parks are, you know, and so our splash pads are fun and ball fields are fun. Fight for underground infrastructure and roads is not fun.
Yeah, kind of a thankless job. Huh?
Very much.
Hey, and don't leave culverts out.
What's that?
Culverts, right?
Oh, culverts, too. I thought you meant the restaurant. No, culverts. No, I'm like, what about ice cream now? No, my husband loves it.
No, culverts, like runoff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Drainage. Yeah. All of those things are extremely important, and we do have a good drainage plan in place, and so that's good. But what we were lacking in is the underground roads and infrastructure, and I'm looking at this current budget coming up, and again, you know, there's these last couple good mills and fills, which are nice, but then you get into it a little bit further, and it's $2 million here and $2 million here, and realistically, it's just not enough money again, but we have a lot of money in underground water repairs, which is good, but those kind of go hand in hand.
See, I'm sorry, Jim.
What is the problem to those of us that don't understand? What is the problem underground?
Time.
Well, yes. The city is now almost 60 years old. Some of the older infrastructure is put in place. We did do the sewer project, which was great, but we really didn't touch the water main lines. Uh-huh. And so when you're getting into 50 or 60-year-old water mains, they are breaking. And recently, I'm going to say it, Paul, here it goes. They don't want me to say it, but I'm going to say it.
I don't want you to say it?
No, people probably don't want
probably
me to say
not.
It. But about 3 years ago when Greg Frosley was in place, he hired a company to come out and do an underground water study to just see how our water main breaks are. It was a satellite kind of a company. It was $110,000.
Yeah. Oh, they can see through the dirt and everything.
And they do some cameras.
It's like a sonogram imaging type
stuff.
Right.
It was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I was asking for this report for 3 years. I finally got the report. I got told that it wasn't worth the paper it was written on. We paid $110,000 for it. It should be worth something.
Yeah. 3 years later, we're finding out differently?
Well, begging for it for 3 years. I finally got it the other day, and it showed Lake Havasu City is 411% higher than the national average on water main breaks.
Oh, my heavens.
Why would that be?
Yeah, is that indicative of poor work done originally or poor materials or,
no,
or just bad luck?
No, 60 years old.
Just goes with the time.
Right. And we do these big main water main lines where you're seeing it now on Acoma where they're digging up the water mains and then we're doing a mill and fill over the top of them. Well, we have laterals that are going to houses.
Sure.
And if in a perfect world, which hopefully we'll get to, I would like to have a really identify when you're going to do an underground, which houses on that street have an older lateral.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're 50 or 60 years old. Yeah. We need to identify that and get ahead of it because you'll get a nice water main like we did down Jamaica. I can't remember what company did that. It wasn't our company. But I knew there was a lot of older homes there that had reoccurring leaks. Uh-huh. How do I know that? People are like, oh, can she see underground? I'm like, no. But when your husband is patching the same patch over and over again in a section, you would know. When you get the hot mix out and you have to patch here and here. And so once that was done, sure enough, we had a serviced lateral leak on that street right after a very expensive mill and fill. So these are the things we have to fix. Are they aware of it? Yes. Are we making progress? Yes. Are we talking about it? Yes. It is a top priority for me.
So Rural Transportation Advocacy Council, you're on the board, Nancy Campbell, who's the city councilwoman here in Lake Havasu City. Are there other cities and towns, rural cities and towns, who are in similar situations as us?
Oh, absolutely. Rural is absolutely the, this advocacy council started about 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for me, I moved myself up into the chair position. It wasn't very long that this is all elected officials, supervisors, mayors, you'll see on the list of the board, all within rural Arizona. They came together about 25 years ago, the MPOs and COGS, and said, we need to unite together to fight for our fair share of funding. Because, as you know, metropolitan cities get 90% of everything, correct? And we have to fight. I mean, if it wasn't for Warren Peterson and the way he changed the way the funding was distributed, that's when Leo, Representative Biasucci, Cobbs, and Varelli ended up getting the funding, because it was distributed equally amongst all the constituents. He was probably the fairest president, Senate president we had. And thus we got a lump sum, and the elected officials did their job and picked, handpicked their priority projects throughout Mojave County.
So was that from the highway user revenue funds?
I believe that was, no. I think that was one-time appropriations, kind of like the second bridge, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was under...
Same process, though, with the second bridge?
Yes,
because it's transportation, obviously.
Right, exactly.
Wow, and that was $35
million. Yeah, and everybody's looking in the budget. I thought that was interesting. In the front page news, they showed it. And it showed that, look at all these roads we are paving. What is Campbell really saying? Well, they incorporated the second bridge in that number.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But realistically, it's $3 million and then $3 million, and then it goes down to $2 million and $2 million. And these, we only get $6 million a year from HERF.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to just the everyday staffing, you know, maintenance that you see going on right now. That goes away. Because municipalities sweep their vehicle license tax into the general fund.
Oh, I see. So this may be a too technical a question, but the grade of asphalt that they're using on this current grade, I used to work in that business, per se, right? I did a lot of sign installs, but I did also a lot of, at the time, there were ceramic buttons that were put on the roads. But is this the same quality of grade that they used for the highway on 95, because that had like a, if I remember right, a 10-year rating on it. Do you know the answer to that?
I can't remember that, but I will.
It just seems like over and over and over, it's every couple of years you see the roads just break down.
Well, I am identifying it, you know, through one of the most things, best things that can happen as an elected official is the collaboration, the relationships, the stepping above the normal everyday agenda and shaking a hand and being at the Senate or being in D.C.
Sure.
And that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
And so with that, what I did get was a relationship with a guy named Samuel Enman, which is the transportation person for the city of Phoenix, metropolitan Phoenix. Well, it was under my direction and Jennifer Toth, the director of ADOT, where we were able to change the way we handled recycled millings. We were actually hauling them hundreds of miles to an ADOT yard or taking them to landfills, costing contractors millions of dollars in haul time.
Yeah.
And so to go back to this, I reached out to Director Toth, who was new. We were both new. She was just newly elected under Governor Hobbs. And with that, she ended up doing what was called a ADOT release form and sent that to all municipalities when we did a big highway job and said, who wants recycled millings?
Yeah.
And I said to use them on the shoulders or roads less traveled, which would be dirt roads along the way that can actually help with dust control and other things instead of hauling them. And I was blessed to be in a ADOT board meeting when the first bid that came out that we used this form saved the taxpayers $3 million. And Director Toth like tipped her head over and said, hey, why don't you tell everybody what happened? So that was a first big win.
Cool.
With that, we ended up, this Samuel that I'm on, Samuel Amon from the Phoenix, started sending consultants out to find out what all we can use these recycled millings for now that they're releasing them to us. Instead of hauling, there was a group that thought they were, you know, hazardous waste and all the things. Now we don't consider them that. And these consultants have figured out to make these little fines out of them, and they're reusing the asphalt for pavement preservation now. Vendors are learning how to reuse it. So I reached out to Samuel, and at the end of this month, myself, the Public Works, City Manager, Vice Mayor Diaz, are going to go in a Zoom meeting with them, along with my husband, to review what it takes to make these fines, to learn from other people. They paid for the consulting, but they're bringing me on board to help us be better at what we do. The other thing that we are doing is we are really looking at the extreme heat index.
Right.
And the reasoning why we're looking at the extreme heat index is because the federal government has, in their federal bill, has a portion of the grant funding that's called the Protect Act.
Okay. What does that do?
And, well, the Protect Act was just grant funding. They had almost $900 million in it last year, and it was supposed to be for extreme weather conditions. Uh-huh. I'm holding on to it, and as I dug down in it, I found out cities and towns that have extreme heat indexes could be qualify for this.
Wow.
There's a reason for that, I believe, that, okay, you see a lot of intersections you come to that have ripples by the crosswalks?
Yes.
That's from the weight of cars during extreme heat, I believe. Is that correct?
It is also the mix that they were using.
Oh.
So from there, I dug in deeper, and just because we're also in the business, it would be nice to know what we can offer to people that would last longer for them. We do developments in Kingman and, you know, Fort Mojave and, of course, our Havasu Heights project. Mm-hmm. But, I just want to learn not only as a council person but as a business person. And so during this, we started dialing down what are those mixes that you're talking about that work best with extreme heat. And it's a higher binder, so let's just say 81 to – I'm going to be talking over people's heads now, but it would be like at 81-22. And recently
– Is that a ratio?
Yeah. Okay. It's basically based on heat and temperatures, and it's a thicker binder, which they do say might need extra – equipment in the mines that we use at our asphalt plant.
Well, so what does that do for striping and pavement markings and that?
Nothing, because that we're talking actually mixing the asphalt. So it would be a thicker binder. So to put it in comparison, right now a coma, which we are doing because it came out spec that way, is down in the 70s-10.
So it's not as dense.
Right.
The higher the number, the denser the mix.
Right.
Makes sense.
So now we have to go to the plant and make sure, do we have to have stronger generators? Is there something else we need to do? But fortunately, I get to take the only asphalt company here in town, and they get to work now with Phoenix metropolitan area to help us, assist us to get to a point that we can all have even a better product on the road. I truly love Las Vegas pavement.
Oh,
you came from there. Their roads are beautiful.
Well, not until recently, though. I've been here since, 1989 along the river. But when you get on that roadway past the state line in California, once you hit that, from the two-lane to the four-lane, you know where I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different world. You feel like you're going to Emerald City almost. it's quiet.
Yes.
It's smoother. It's definitely noticeable. But Vegas has something that we don't have and we probably don't want. It's called indexing.
Yes.
When they index their fuel, it's a fuel tax that goes back into the roads.
Right.
But it makes their gas more expensive, too.
Right. And, and I'm not in for any more rate. I don't want any more tax increases. But what I do, here's why I'm with you today, too, is I'm doing a call to action. Now is absolutely the time. If you know any legislators, if anybody, just pick up the phone and tell them we want our fair share of federal funding. Why am I going to say this? Is because in 2009, when the America Rescue Act came out, which is a transportation like the Big Beautiful Bill, in the transportation portion, which our new...
But that was more for COVID, right?
No, they wanted to add certainty.
The American Rescue Plan Act.
ARPA. Right. Well, that's when, in 2009, everything crashed, and it was really bad.
Okay.
And so, now, the president at the time, I won't say names, decided to go back to the 2000 census. In Arizona, we're horrible at census.
Yeah.
That's not even a word, but it's
We generally, sensei, I think it might be.
I don't know.
Sensei. Anyway, we have to hurry, though.
Okay, I have to hurry. Okay, I'll make it quick. So basically in 2009, he went back to 2000 census and gave certainty year after year to all states across the country. By doing that, we're not getting our actual population growth. So I went to MAG and said, let's go back to the way we did it prior to 2009. Where would we be today? The most recent information in 2023, mm-hmm. Arizona lost $198 million in transportation funding. And today we're doing another federal funding that expires September 30th. And I will tell you, I am fighting to get it back to the way it was. But that's why it's super important. Everybody contact your legislators and say, you fight for our transportation funding. Take it back to pre-2009 modernization.
Somebody tells me when Nancy Campbell starts a fight,
people
get her way.
Listen.
I didn't say start a fight, did I? When you join a fight, how's
yeah,
that?
Let's just say I'm working really hard because when I was told, what is $180 million of transportation? Nothing. I said, are you kidding me? For the last 20 years, right. We are losing this. So I am reaching out to all the other high-growth states, and they should all be fighting for their fair share.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We're going to have you back on.
Yeah.
Well, that was
good.
A lot. I talk fast. Did you guys even understand that?
A little bit.
Okay.
I did. I think that makes me your understudy.
Okay, but what is our takeaway?
But I hope not.
What is our takeaway? We have to fight for our funding.
And I think our other takeaway is you're doing a great job on our behalf.
Well, thank you.
I think the rurals are doing better. I think that was my takeaway. We're doing better than we were.
Yeah, and I think our roads are doing better. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
we'll see once they're finished and all that, right?
Yeah, and they're only going to get better get the funding I need.
We got to go, Nancy.
All right, thank you.
Nancy Campbell, our guest, again, from the Rural Transportation Advocacy Council. Jim Russell, we're going to take this straight up to the top of the hour.
Yes.
All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.